Here at the World Dairy Expo 2011, as always in Madison, Wisconsin, I am at the Pioneer exhibit, and with me is Alan Patterson, who is a dairy specialist with Pioneer here in Wisconsin. And we're going to chat a little bit about inoculants. You work directly with dairy producers here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, do you work with them then to determine what types of inoculants work best on their operations?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I pride myself with, and I'm very happy that I'm working for Pioneer, is the fact that we have a lot of offerings in the inoculant marketplace, and we're still doing research to bring new products to the marketplace. If you look at what a lot of our competitors are selling, it's a one product for every forage that they're ever putting up on that dairy type situation. The problem with that is, Pioneer's progressed several generations beyond that. Number one, just like we have Right Product, Right Acre with corn, soybeans, alfalfa, we have Right Bacteria, Right Crop. And by that I mean, like our 11H50, we found specific lactic acid producing strains of bacteria that will drive that pH down very, very quickly on alfalfa. One of the things our competitors come back with, when they're talking to a producer, we've got more colony forming units per gram than what Pioneer does. My adage to that is, you know what, you better. Because if you're putting that one-size-fits-all product onto haylage, you know what, you're probably wasting a lot of those colony-forming units that are in there for corn silage or for grass silage. So I'm pretty proud of the fact that we're continuing to do research, we're bringing new products and new technologies to the marketplace. So,
well, one of the keys about inoculants, I believe, as I remember this, is digestibility, right? Making the forage more digestible.
Well, that has just come into light here probably in the last 5 to 6 years with some of the new technologies. Prior to that, everything was designed basically to preserve the quality of the forage that was brought in from the field. With our new line of fiber technology, basically what we have done is Pioneer's evaluated all of our L. buchneri strains of bacteria. And in addition to producing the acetic acid, which gives you the phase stability of your bunker and the stability of that forage once it's presented to the cows in the TMR, we've identified a unique strain of L. buchneri that, in addition to producing that acetic acid, produces two enzymes. And I'm a chemistry geek, and I love this stuff. And the name of them is not important, I could tell it to you. But what it does is very important. If you think back to high school biology, there's three structural components to a plant cell wall. There's lignin, there's cellulose, and there's hemicellulose. Lignin, no matter what you do to it, it's going out the back end of that cow. It's fertilizer. Problem is with the high rates of digestion and the throughput that we've got in in today's high-producing dairy cow, the rumen microbes don't have access to that cellulose or hemicellulose to use it for an energy source. So basically it's bound up by the lignin, goes out the back end of the cow with the lignin. What those two enzymes do with our fiber technology is break those ester bonds that hold the lignin to the cellulose and hemicellulose, presenting it to the rumen microbes so that they can use it as an energy source. It's awesome from the chemistry standpoint, and it's really awesome from bottom line what we can do for a dairyman, particularly in a year like this. I mean, if you think about the two things that contribute to a lot of lignin being in corn silage, number one, extremely wet conditions early in the year. We had it. I mean, we were 3 weeks in most parts of my area behind where we should have been getting the corn in the ground. Second thing is extremely rapid growth. When you get extremely rapid growth, you get a lot of lignin in that plant. We had that. I mean, you went out and looked at corn June 15th. You had corn that was, 15 inches tall and yellow because it hadn't seen the sunshine. Come back in July 15th, that stuff's shoulder high. We're going to have some pretty poor digestibility in corn silage this year unless they did some things such as high chopping or using our fiber technology to be able to break open those bonds and present that cellulose and hemicellulose to those rumen microbes as an energy source.
Well, now, you said you're concentrating the right bacteria for the right crop. So that may vary not just between types of forage, but also based on the type of year you've had, the type of weather, the type of conditions?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a little bit of variability when I've talked to some of the dairies that have used our 11 CFT for the last 6 years as far as the response that they get on a year-to-year basis. And at first, I was a little bit concerned about that, and then I got to thinking about it, and I went back and I asked some of those dairymen, What years did you see the biggest response? What years did you see the smallest response? The biggest response was variable depending on where they were just because of growing conditions. The smallest response across the board with every one of those dairies that I interviewed was 2009. Think about 2009. A very cold, wet year, very few growing degree days, very slow maturing crop, very little lignin. So did we improve the digestibility of that crop? Absolutely. Was it as great as what we will improve the digestibility of this year's crop? Absolutely not. We're dealing with biological systems here, and a lot of times the corn plant and the bacteria and the inoculant don't necessarily read the textbooks as far as percentages and those kinds of things.
So how many different types of inoculants does Pioneer offer?
Well, that's a great question. If you take a look at our inoculant offering, we try and have something in every category. The marketplace that a lot of our competitors are playing in, one product for every crop, we have two offerings, 1177, 1174. And that's something that I point out to our agencies when they're, you know, talking to people about inoculants. When was the last time you offensed the conversation about that? We haven't in a long, long time because we've advanced so much further than that. For right bacteria, right crop, like on haylage, we've got 11H50, which has been our gold standard as far as alfalfa inoculant. Basically, it's got a lot of good lactic acid-producing strains of bacteria that will drop that pH very, very quickly. 1132 would be the counterpart to that on the corn silage side of things. The next step up from that would be just a straight L. buchneri product that has good lactic acid-producing strains to drop that pH quickly and then get the activation of the L. buchneri. And again, we have those products for both haylage and corn silage specifically. And then we've got our fiber technology lineup, which includes 11CFT for corn silage, 11AFT for alfalfa haylage, and 11GFT for grasses or cereal grains. So it's not as simple as, here's a bottle, put it on your forage anymore. I mean, and if you look at the high feed costs and what we can, how we can impact that with our inoculants and helping dairymen make those right choices, particularly with the size of some of the dairies we're dealing with, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars to the bottom line if we help them with the proper inoculant selection.
If a producer out there wants to find out more, what should they do?
There's several things they can do. Number one, go to pioneer.com. Number two, talk to your local agency. And we've got dairy specialists such as myself that are scattered all over the country. And those would probably be the two starting points, would be either pioneer.com or your local agency, and they will know how to get a hold of one of the livestock information managers or a dairy specialist.
Thank you very much. Here at World Dairy Expo at the Pioneer booth, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.